God of heaven, creator of everything, chose to be my friend. I heard this morning the story about that, what a friend we have in Jesus. Can't quote it all perfectly, but there's a man, he was married to his wife and married for a long time and children, and she passed away, got sick and passed away, and they're going through some different things there, and they end up finding somebody new, a new wife, or gave him a new wife, and they had, or gave him a new, someone he loved, and they were supposed to be married, engaged, and 3 weeks before they got married, she passed away. And he devoted his life to being a missionary, I guess, on the streets there in one of the big cities. And a few years later, his mom was passing away. And he had nothing to give her. He's been living on the streets as a missionary. I'm trying to spread the gospel. He didn't have anything to give her, so he wrote the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and wrote it down and mailed it to her. And he didn't have anything to give to her, but what he could tell her was she has a friend in Jesus. And I'm thankful this morning. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. The great God of heaven chose not only to be our Savior, he chose to be our friend. I'm thankful for that this morning. Ruth chapter 1. Come on, I'm going to take my coat off. Not very dignified, but it's hot up here. Ruth chapter 1 says verse number 6. Going back to verse number 1. I know we already did that last week. Because in Ruth chapter 1, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And the part we're trying to get to, verse number 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. They said to her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from falling after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Lord, do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her, say too, and until they came to Bethlehem. I'm going to stop right there. Brother Dale, you didn't read my notes, did you? I was studying this yesterday, and until yesterday, I didn't know for sure if I'd be back in Ruth again this week or not, especially this morning. And the more I read, the Lord opened up to me and told me that's what I'd be preaching and told me how to preach it and how it lined up with last week. And then Brother Dale got up this morning kind of on the same lines. And the Lord, he's already doing preaching that, so I'll be preaching that. And the Lord knows before I do, the Lord knew what he'd be teaching on. And I believe the Lord wants me to preach it this morning. Back in Ruth again here, obviously, I didn't know for sure if I'd be here or not. Last week he started out in Ruth chapter 1. We studied those first 5 verses there on Elimelech and his bad choices, land his family in hopeless, and eventually his wife lonely in a heathen land of Moab. We talked about how the important making the right choice there, how it affects other people, not just you. We talked about the impact and the influence we have, how Elimelech probably didn't plan on moving down to Moab for the rest of his life. That's not the intentions we read about. He probably didn't plan on that, but once he got there, he got influenced by the world and he ended up staying. Sin has that effect on you, make you get worse and worse, deeper and deeper, and sin makes it harder to get out. He sojourned, verse number 1, I believe it is. Then he continued, and we read about his sons, how they dwelled there. Keeps getting worse, going down and down and down. It only gets worse, longer in sin. His son said, if it was good enough for daddy, it's good enough for me. We'll just stay here and build a family here. We talked about these first five verses, why they're here in Ruth. We talked about how the rest of the book seems to be happy and good and the Lord's blessing and using this family, using Ruth, and we'll get to more of that later on. These first five verses are sad, going the wrong direction. Why are they put there? We talked about how we must realize we're wrong before we can get right. We must realize you're lost before you can get saved. You have to get lost before you can get found. You have to be lost before you can be saved. And I mentioned this some last week. We noticed in verse number 6, verse we read there, Naomi is left alone. Her husband is not her leader in the home, has died. Her sons have died in Jewish culture. When the husband would die, the son would step up and take the leader, the oldest son, take a leadership role in the home. So he is gone now. So it's just Naomi making her own decisions. Not that she couldn't do that, but making her own decisions, having to provide for herself, no one there to work and help provide. She has none of her own family left, and her first decision is to get up and go back home. She heard some good news from Canaan land. She decided she was tired of living in sin, tired of living in the heathen land. It was time to get back home to Canaan land. I want to focus today on those two daughters-in-law. We'll get to Naomi's son, but focus on the two daughters-in-law. They have been left with their husbands. They are going through mourning just like Naomi is. They have lost somebody as well. They have both lost her husband. They are presented with a choice. Naomi gives them a choice. That choice is what I want to focus on this morning. I mentioned this many times here before. We have a choice of how we're going to live. Joshua said it in Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served, on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Elijah said it in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. We look at that today, and we can see these two heathen Moabite women given the same choice. Same choice Joshua mentioned, same choice Elijah mentioned. Naomi's going to give it to Orpah and to Ruth. What's the Lord's talking to preach today on what's your choice? And split this up into three different points. We have Naomi's choice. She makes a choice here. We have Orpah's choice. We have Ruth's choice. Three different things. I'm going to look at Naomi as the picture of the saved, backslidden Christian. And Brother Dill was talking about this morning. You've been saved before, but you have gone off into sin, gotten in yourself in trouble into sin. You have done wrong. You need to get things right. And then we look at Orpah as the picture of the lost person. You've been given the gospel. You choose to ignore it and go your own way. And then we'll see Ruth, the saved person. He gets saved by the grace, repents of her wrong, gets saved, takes the God of Naomi, gets saved by the grace of God. Number one, start out to get right into it. Naomi's choice. We see she's the backslider. It's in verse number 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. As we have already mentioned, Naomi says, I'm alone. My sons are gone. My husband is gone. She heard from the missionary to Moab that Canaan land was doing good again. She wanted to get back home where she's supposed to be. Remember, Naomi has, as far as we know, has nothing here in Moab. They may have a home. I'm not sure what she has there. Probably not much. She couldn't go stand in the welfare line and get a paycheck. She didn't have a Social Security check coming in the mail. Naomi had nothing. Nothing to show for herself. She may have had a home. Doesn't tell us. She has nobody to help provide food or anything for her. She is alone. But it says it's time. It's time to get up. It's time to go back on, return to the land of Judah. She said, I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what I lose or what I gain. I just want to be in Canaan land again. It ought to be our mindset. I don't care if I'm rich or poor. I don't care where the Lord sends me. I'm just going to go with God. If he lets me have my home back in Canaan, well, good. If not, I'm still going to Canaan land. Naomi, as far as I know, she didn't know. She's been gone for at least 10 years now from Canaan land. She don't know what she has there in Canaan. Her home could be gone. Her farm or land, whatever they had, probably handed off to somebody else. She doesn't know what she's going back to. As far as she knows, she's going to be homeless in Canaan land. She says, I don't care. I'm going back to Canaan land. I got to get back where the Lord told me to be. Are you that committed to the Lord? Are you willing to go wherever he says go? Do whatever he says do. Give up whatever he says to give up. Are you willing? It's not easy. It takes faith. Naomi said, I've got to get back to the Lord. If it costs me everything, I've got to get close to him again. If it costs me my life, if I had to be homeless the rest of the time in Canaan land, I don't care. I've got to get back to where I'm supposed to be. Notice Naomi's counsel. She tells her daughters-in-law to return to their families. Verse number 8. And Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. Lord, deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. And she kissed them, they lifted their voice and wept. And they said to her, surely we return with thee unto thy people. Naomi told them, you go home to your mother's house. You might say, well, why would Naomi tell someone to return to a heathen nation? Why would she do that? We have to consider that these two women, they have family, they have parents, it talks about her mother. They could probably very easily find another husband. They have mothers to return them. They have no doubt have a good relationship with Naomi, as it mentions here in verse number 8. She has dealt, as they have dealt good with the dead, they were good wives to Naomi's sons. She said, you go back to your home, you go back to your mother's house, you find you a husband, he'll deal kindly with you, the Lord will bless you because of the way you've treated me. They treated their husbands good, they treated their mother-in-law good. Naomi says, you go back home. Where Naomi is going, she doesn't know if she's going to be homeless or what. She doesn't know. She doesn't want to bring more widows into it. Right now, her point of view is she's going to go back to Canaan land and have nothing. She has no way to provide for Ruth and Orpah there. She says, you go back home. Notice their love for each other. They're lifting their voices, it says, and weeping, there in verse number 9. It says, surely we return with thee into thy people. You realize what's going on here, don't you? These two young widows are begging their mother-in-law widow to go live with her. How often do you see that? You can laugh, it's okay. You don't see that. The daughter-in-law begging to go live with the mother-in-law in a different country they've never been to before. They're begging and crying and say, please let me go live with my mother-in-law. I don't see very many people doing that. You don't line up to do that. Maybe some of you do. You're looking at me like I'm weird. Naomi must have some kind of influence on these young ladies. She must have made an impact on life, something different about Naomi. Something special about Naomi. Even her daughter-in-law are begging to go live with her in a land they'd never stepped foot on before. Even Naomi's backslidden state, there's just something different about Naomi. She had a right spirit about her. What about you? This isn't just for the ladies today. This is for all of us. How is your spirit? Are you the person that attracts the attention of the people? Some people want to be around you. You might say, well, that doesn't matter. What does that matter? How many people do you think will accept the gospel for somebody that's a jerk? It's not going to happen very often. It can be hard-pressed. How's your spirit is important. If the Holy Spirit's on the inside, it's going to affect the outside. It has to. There's no way around it. If you're saved today, it's going to affect your outside. You're going to affect your spirit. People are going to notice. My pastor preached one time in the message about this, and he tried to excuse me. Is that an elephant in your pocket? It's a funny title, but that's how obvious it ought to be that you're saved. People ought to be able to tell there's something different about you, something different about Naomi. Notice Naomi's outlook wasn't so great. Verse number 11. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for agree with me much for your sakes. The hand of the Lord is going out against me. Naomi said, there's literally nothing I can do for you. There's literally no reason for you to come with me. I can't give you more husbands. Even if I could, you wouldn't want to wait for them. Naomi said, it grieves me. There's nothing I can do for you. She's heartbroken about it. She says, it grieves me much for your sakes. The hand of the Lord is going out against me. She said, it's my fault. The Lord's judging me. It's my fault. My family's fault that we're in sin. It's my fault that we're being judged. She's grieved that she can't do anything to help them. Naomi realizes God's punishment on her home. It says in Psalms 34:16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The Lord's not going to bless those that ignore his will, go into sin. He's not going to bless it. Naomi realized what's wrong. She's grieving about it. She's turning and heading back to Bethlehem. She's trying to get things right. She's realizing she's wrong, realizing they've gone wrong and put themselves in the wrong position. They've affected other lives. They affect Orpah. They affected Ruth. They've affected people with their sin. She says, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do for you. What is that? I believe it's repentance. She is sorry for what she's done. The hand of the Lord is going out against me. She realizes the Lord is punishing her for their sin. She's repenting. You say, repenting, I thought she was saved. Well, that's the picture we get here, that she is saved. The picture we get anyway, if she is saved, will her sin keep her out of heaven? No, of course not. We know that. We live in eternal security, but it will keep her out of Canaan land. Her sin, to live in Moab, will keep her out of Canaan land. It will keep her out of close communion with the Lord. We talked last week how Canaan is a picture of the Spirit-filled Christian life, close fellowship with the Father. Her sin is going to keep her out of close fellowship with the Father unless she gets it right and gets back to Canaan land. The first step to get back from backsliding is repenting of your own and realizing that you're wrong. Lord, I know I've done wrong. I know I've sinned against you. I'm turning. I'm going to turn around. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to get back to you again. But we see more here. She's giving them their choices. One, go back to home to their parents. They'll have houses and lands with food and cattle and probably find husbands again. Then they'll have children, most likely, or they can continue with Naomi and likely be widows, possibly homeless. No idea what their future may hold. And that's the choices Naomi gave them. Notice what she says in verse 8, go return each to her mother's house. In verse 11, she says, turn again. In verse 12, she says, turn again. Three separate times, Naomi's practically begging these Moabite girls to go home and to stay in Moab. I wonder, is Naomi making a definite request? Is she really asking them that? Or does she really want them to return to, does she really want them to return to Moab? Or is this a test? I don't know. Does she want to make it certain? Does she want to make their decision certain? No second guessing it. Does Naomi think Moab really would be better for them? Or does she want them to know for sure what their choice is? If we're going to choose to live for the Lord, it's going to have to be definite. No riding the fence. No here one day and there the next day. No changing your mind. You're going to live for God or not. There shouldn't be any wavering. Elijah said, choose you this, or Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Make up your mind. This can be a picture of Naomi giving them the gospel. And she says, you've got to make up your mind. Do you believe him? Do you trust him? Will you put all your faith in him? If not, you might as well return home. That's how this works. We know John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him. You got to believe. You can't halfway do it. Either believe him or you don't. Matthew Henry said this, strong passions without a settled judgment commonly produce weak resolutions. In other words, make up your mind what you're going to do. You're going to live for the Lord or not. Quit this wavering mess in one day, out the next. It's not going to work. It's not real. Don't make, Matthew Henry, in other words, says, don't make hasty decisions on emotion. Strong passions without settled judgment commonly produce weak resolutions. If you don't have it settled, if you haven't decided whom you will serve, like it says in Joshua, when trials come or troubles come, you're going to waver. You're going to waver. You're going to fall off the wagon. Decide who you're going to serve. You need a foundation. You need a cornerstone. We can preach about that. I'm not going to now. You need something to build on. If either of these girls here are going to stay with Naomi now, they cannot say they didn't know the cost. Naomi's made it evident. She's made it plain. This is what it's going to cost you. She didn't throw anything under the rug. She didn't hide anything. They're going to have to consciously decide to go live in Canaan land and therefore give up everything else or stay where they were. We have a decision day to go live in Canaan land, live a spirit-filled Christian life, to be sold out to God and live for God, or we can remain in the wilderness. It's your choice. What is your choice? What will your choice be? Are you willing to give up worldly goods and possessions if God says to? Are you willing to give up your home and leave your extended family and give up what you have planned for your own future and go to a foreign land? That's what Naomi's telling them. That's what they have to do. Maybe the Lord won't require you to do all that. Maybe you will. Are you willing? How far are you willing to go for God? There's some place in your life where you're saying, Lord, I'm with you until there. Lord, I'll do everything you want me to do except that. Any young men saying that today? Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do except that. I said that when I was young. Lord, I'll do anything. I'll be a deacon. I'll do anything you want me to do. Just don't make me be a preacher. That didn't work out. It never does work out. What line are you drawing in the sand? Young people, older people, what line are you drawing in the sand? We see Naomi's choice. She said, you don't have to come with me. In fact, she encouraged him not to come with her. She even gave him every reason to stay. But she said, I'm going to Canaan land. I've got to get back to Canaan. I've got to get back to where I'm supposed to be. Got to get back in fellowship with the Lord. Naomi said, I've got to get back to the Lord. And she gave them their option. Give up your other gods. Put all your faith in thee, God, or you can stay here. There's a lot of trouble with that in many parts of the world. Even here, these strange religions think they can have many gods, and they just try to add Jesus in the midst of the other gods. That's not how that works. It's not going to work. You just must leave behind the other gods, leave behind everything else. Put your complete faith and trust in the true God and his son, Jesus Christ, if you want to be saved. Put your faith in him. You can't say, well, just in case, I'll do this over here, and I'll do a little this over here, and I'll be good this day, I'll do this another day. It's not how faith works. Either you believe him or you don't. Either you trust him or you don't. Either you're going to be with him or you won't. What's your choice? See Naomi's choice to go. It's the Orpah's choice. Picture the lost person here, verse number 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Notice in verse 10, we see Orpah and Ruth. They both say, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Orpah back in verse 10 says, oh yes, Naomi, I'll go with you. Verse 9, we see them both weeping. Verse 14, we see them both weeping again. when it came down to the point of commitment, Orpah returned. Orpah had all the emotions that Ruth had. She had all the remorse. She had no repentance. She cried. She had no commitment. She had a love, but she had no longing for the Lord. I believe there are many people today, maybe even some in the church, that they believe there is a God. They believe in some things God has done. Maybe they have even had emotions or remorse before about sin or about God. But there's been no repentance. There's been no commitment. There's been no believing in His saving work on Calvary for their sins. Orpah was all in with it until she had to realize how much she's going to have to give up. She was all in going with Naomi until she realized what she'd have to give up there and leave at home. There's a big difference between remorse. She was crying. Big difference between remorse and repentance. Orpah was sad. Orpah, she cried. I believe she legitimately loved Naomi. She wanted to go with her. She was not willing to give up her past. Not willing to give up everything for Naomi's God. Is there any lost person here today? Y'all pay attention to me back there. Put your phones down. Is there anyone here that is right on the edge of repenting? Something in the past is holding you back? Notice it wasn't the sins that kept her from repenting. She wasn't too far gone. It wasn't her heritage that kept her from repenting. She had the same opportunity. It was her choice kept her from repenting. She had the same opportunity Ruth had. She had a legitimate choice to go back to her region and go back to her relatives and her religion. She made that choice. She was all in as long as she hadn't given up her past, as long as she hadn't given up her sin. She was all in until it involved commitment. Anybody like that here today? A young person afraid of committing yourself to the Lord. Lord, I can't do that now because I got all these fun things to do when I'm young. I can't commit right now. Any older person here holding on to things of the past that just feel more comfortable? Was it easier for Orpah to stay in Moab? You better believe it was. She chose the easiest path there was. It was comfortable. But she missed out on Canaan. She missed out on the one true God. She missed out on so much more. We never read anything else about her. She is gone. The second Orpah was met with a challenge of leaving her past. She gave it up and she came back home. She's full of emotion. Verse number 9 and verse 14. There was apparently no inward change. She gave God her emotions. First problem came, she was gone. How many people have you seen come through the church like that? They come in, they're full of emotion. They make profession of faith. They say they're saved. And the first time trouble comes, they're back into the world again. First time they realize they give up sin, they're back into the world again. I don't know anybody's heart between them and the Lord. I can't say if somebody's saved or not. That's their decision. It's between them and the Lord. But the example we have here, verse number 9 and 14, she claims to be real. In verse number 10, she claims that she'll give whatever she has. She claims she'll go. When trouble came, Orpah was gone. Is that you here today? When trouble comes, where are you? When trouble comes, you fall back in your old ways. Are you standing on a solid foundation? I'm not just talking about sin here. Even getting saved isn't going to remove your fleshly desires for your past. You're still going to have temptations after you're saved. If a drunk gets saved, he doesn't immediately lose the taste for alcohol. It's not going to immediately go away unless the Lord just miraculously does that for him. When that drunk does go back to liquor, to never return to God again, that's the example we have here of Orpah. An emotional salvation, outward appearance change, but inwardly still the same. She never gave her heart to the Lord. How about you? Have you given your heart to him? Notice the last thing written about Orpah here. It says in verse number 15, she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is going back unto her people and unto her gods." That's the last thing recorded about Orpah. She went back to her people and to her gods. Little god, G-O-D. Reminds me of something written over in 1 Timothy 4:10. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And Naomi's Ruth's case, "For Orpah hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." The same thing here. That's the last thing she's known by, is she loved the world. She loved her sins. She loved her family more than God. She loved being comfortable more than God. One day, there'll be going to be some last words written about you. What will they be? One day, unless the Lord comes back, some preacher somewhere is going to have to preach your funeral somewhere. We'll be able to use you as an example. We have to use you as a warning. I preached a funeral before of a saved person, preached a funeral of a lost person. It's a big difference. We'll be able to point to your life and say, "Look what he's done." We had to try to skip over things you've done to try to comfort the family. We'll be the last thing written about you. Don't quit. Don't turn away. Don't ignore the call of God to salvation. Don't settle for emotions. Emotions are only temporary. Get it settled today. Orpah was emotional. She had remorse. She had no repentance. It's your choice. See, Ruth's choice. Verse number 14 again. "And lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her." As much as Orpah ignored and returned, Ruth claved and Ruth stayed. That word clave is a powerful word. It's used many times in our Bible, often translated as clave, sometimes translated in different ways. It says in Psalms 63:8, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. That the phrase there, followeth hard, is the same word as clave there in the Hebrew. That followeth hard, another word translated as word clave. The Hebrew word means to be joined, to follow close, to catch by pursuit. It means to chase, to get as close as you can, hold on as tight as you can. Ruth had a deep love, deep loyalty to her mother-in-law. I believe something changed inside of Ruth. She clave unto her. She refused to leave her. I wonder what changed her so much. What was different about Naomi that made Ruth cleave to her instead of her own mother? Verse 15 again, she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Naomi tried to talk her out of it. So then verse number 16, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from falling after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Notice Ruth's persistence, verse number 16. Ruth said, I don't care where you go, I don't care what you do, I'm going with you. I've heard about Canaan land, I've heard about the blessings of Canaan land. I've heard about the God of Canaan land. Ruth said, I'm going with you. Thy people will be my people, most importantly, thy God, my God. She said, I'm going. I don't care what I have to give up, I'm going. She just denounced all the gods of Moab she was raised to believe. She said, your God is my God. She didn't want anything to do with her past. She forsook it all to follow after Naomi and after Naomi's God. Dr. James Jones, Jr., in his book on Ruth, he said this, oh, that God might help us ever to choose rightly, cleave tightly, and continue delightfully in our commitment unto Christ. Are you committed to Him? Are you cleaving to Him? Are you continuing in Him? Ruth said, I'll give up everything I have to give up, everything I've ever known, like these gods I've grown up with, for my mother-in-law and for her God. She made a commitment. We can say there ought to be something different about us. Notice Ruth left Moab. She separated herself from the world. She didn't get saved and stay there. She separated from those things, from those that serve other gods. She dedicated herself to the one true God. She forsook all and followed Him like disciples did when they were fishing. Are you willing to do that for Him? Willing to forsake all and follow Him? He may not require us to leave our father or mother. He may not require you to pack up and move to a foreign land, but He might. Are you willing to? Ruth was. So you see, Ruth and Naomi, they're headed out, headed back to Bethlehem. She is committed unto death. It says there in verse number 17, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. She said, don't even take me back to Moab to bury me with my family. She said, I want to die on the mission field. I'm going to die in Canaan land. Ruth was committed right then for life. She said, I'll give my life. But she didn't give her years. She didn't give 10 years. She said, I'm yours for life. She said, Lord, I'm yours forever. Whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. I'm gone for good. Don't bring me back here again. That's the way it ought to be with the Lord. Lord, I'm yours for life. Whatever you want, I'm yours. She gave it all to Him. Even through the influence of a once backslidden Christian, Ruth came to God and ended up being put into the very lineage of Jesus Christ. I want to say also, while we are here, be careful the advice you take. Be careful taking spiritual advice from a backslider. Naomi tried to discourage Ruth in any way she could from going to Canaan land. I wonder what would have happened if Ruth listened to her. Lineage of Christ will be changed. Somebody different been used. Be careful who you listen to. Kind of a side note there. I closed out last week by mentioning, I already mentioned it today, but those first five verses of Ruth 1 is them realizing their position. Naomi couldn't get restored until she realized where she was. She couldn't get things right until she realized where she was, realized she'd done wrong. Ruth couldn't be saved until she realized who she was. She was a heathen Moabite with false gods. She had to give it up. That's the first part of salvation. We talked about that last week. You must first realize your position. Before God, we are no good, filthy worms. Without Him, we are hopeless. We can't save ourselves. The sacrifice had to be perfect. It had to be spotless. It had to be Him. Without Him, I'd die and go to hell. Without Him today, I would be dying and on my way to hell. That's the first step. Realize you're lost today. The second step is what we cover today. And that's repentance. Realizing where you were, where you are, and turning around and heading the other way. Naomi repented. Went back to get in the fellowship with the Savior. She repented, backslider. Ruth repented of her past, went on to get close to the Savior. She was saved. Orpah had remorse, but refused to repent. We don't hear anything else about her. As far as we know, she died living in a heathen land in Moab. That's all we know about her. Why? Because she refused to repent. refused to give up her sin. She refused to go give up her false religion or false gods. If she wanted it all back, she would not repent. So far here in Ruth, we have a picture of salvation. We, number one, realize who you are. Number two, repent. So I don't know about that, preacher. That's okay. Don't believe me. Believe what the Bible says. It says in Matthew 3:2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark 1:15, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Are you a lost sinner today? It's time to repent. Get it right. Every head bowed, every eye closed today, if you would. Anybody here today, you say, preacher, I don't know about all that you're talking about today. I've never done that before. I don't know anything about repentance. I don't know what all that's about. Anybody here today, you said, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know where I'll go if I die. Anybody here today willing to admit that? Just raise your hand. I don't want to. I'm not going to point you out and call your name. I just want to pray for you. Anybody here today don't know where you would go when you die? Maybe there's some saved here today. You backslidden Christian today. I don't know why we keep bringing that up. I don't do it on purpose. It keeps coming back around to it. Seems like every service for the past week or more now we've been talking about backsliding. The Lord must be trying to tell somebody something. Maybe it's me. Must be trying to tell somebody something. It's time to repent and get things right with God. I said before, you're probably tired of hearing it, if you're not as close to God now as you've ever been before, you're backslidden. It's time to get it right. It's time to get close fellowship with Him. Will backsliding keep you out of heaven? Of course not. It'll keep you out of Canaan land. Keep you out of fellowship with God. Don't you want to be as close to Him as you can? Don't you want to be used to Him? Don't you want to have influence for Him? Time to get things right. The altar is open here if anybody want to come. I'm not going to linger this service out any more than I need to. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here today. Lord, thank you for your scriptures and what we can learn from them. Lord, I praise any lost today. Get saved for it's too late. Lord, I praise any backslidden. Lord, I pray you claim them. Lord, I pray us to be as close to you as we possibly can be. Lord, I pray us to do a work for you here. We help our church in Jesus' name.